Welcome back, Raw Thoughts, to another episode with me, Mackenzie Tiggs. I want to give a huge shout out to My Medic. They are sponsoring this podcast, and you can find more information of what their message is and how you can actually get coordinated with them in first aid and medical devices. On my Instagram, there's actually a full video of what My Medic is doing and how I have partnered with them for this. So if you are looking for supplies for first aid, if you're going out hiking, if you're, you know, just need something in your car, your kids are in sports and you need some medical devices, bandages, airway, they are your place to go. So definitely in the comments, look in there for My Medic. They are our amazing sponsors for today. Today, I have a wonderful guest, Matt Schneider, somebody that I have been able to just follow along with his story and hearing and reading what he is about. So kind of a little bit of a backstory. He was also a first responder. He was in law enforcement. He's gone through entrepreneurial and business owning and personal growth. So I welcome you onto the podcast, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Absolutely. So we actually were talking before we were recording, and I want to kind of jump back into that conversation because it was very true to what you are and who you are and how you've gotten to where you have gotten. So kind of to jump back into that conversation was, for the listeners, we were talking about first responders and this personal growth development. And you were talking about how for first responders, it's super easy for agencies to get behind the professional growth, your next certification, your next training, that sort of thing. But yet it's really hard to get behind that personal growth. Let's jump back into that conversation.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, it's not necessarily the agency's job to work with the guys and gals on the professional side. I'm sorry, on the personal side, but professional side for sure. It's the individual person's responsibility to really go down that path. But what we're talking about is just how foreign of a concept it was for me for the decade that I was in law enforcement. By the time I left the department in 2014 full-time and then 2019, as an admin reserve, when I, you know, started down that entrepreneurial path, I had an advanced certificate from post, and so that's, you know, years on the job, that's thousands of hours of on the job training, right? And so it is just part of culture to be getting professionally developed. But when we were talking about, you know, the emotional impact and the psychological toll that being a first responder takes, it needs to not be a foreign concept to go down the professional and personal development paths simultaneously so that you become a ninja at the job, but that you can stay mentally whole and psychologically healthy and emotionally in check as you do that job, because you're more than that job, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to become having an identity as, you know, a police officer or a SWAT operator or a medic, firefighter, dispatcher, a nurse, you know, all these first responders that are out there changing the world, that almost kind of assumes the identity of the person, but they're more than that. They're mothers and husbands and fathers and, you know, parents and spouses. They're just so much more than that, that can sometimes get kind of just absorbed into this profession.
Mm-hmm. So what was your history? Get us, like, kind of catch us up to speed of what your history within being an officer was.
Yeah, so I self-sponsored through the academy in 2001. I was actually in the academy when 9/11 happened. We all remember where we were. Mm-hmm. When those planes started to hit, and I was in the police academy. I had a friend that I'd gone on a ride-along with some months prior to that, and I was like, this is a pretty cool job. You got all these buttons in this car, and nothing of any significance happened, but it just seemed like a cool profession that had a lot of potential for having major impact and positive influence in people's lives. I also just by nature, just the spirit of who I am, is somebody who is very judicial. And I have always been one that will kind of step into the gap and protect those who cannot protect themselves. So it was just a natural fit that way. So I self-sponsored the academy. It was a 9-month program. I got patrol certified and detention certified. And then from there, just continued my education, eventually got my degree in psychology. And then I was hired on with the Ada County Sheriff's Office in 2006. Started in the jail, not where I wanted to start, because I never watched an episode of Cops where they'd spent much more than just a couple of seconds in the jail. I wanted to be out on the road chasing bad guys and being that that person that would stand in front of evil to protect the good. But the need was in the jail. So I started there. It was a really good place. As I look back, I think all law enforcement should actually start in a detention center, because in order to become in law enforcement, you have to be somebody who has lived right and probably don't have a lot of close associations with bad people and the doings of bad people. So it was really eye-opening to work in that space, but it was great because you get a lot of experience in a lot of different ways. You learn to communicate. You learn that you have to be a great salesperson in order to be a first responder, because you have to talk a lot of people into doing things that otherwise they don't want to do. So I spent just over a year in the jail, and then I went to patrol, spent several years on patrol, found that I really had a knack for finding bad things going on, which led to, you know, several years of a lot of fun stuff that I really enjoyed, but my wife hated because of the amount of incidents that happened. But did that for a bunch of years. Did SWAT for 5 years. I was an entry operator, was on the U.S. Marshals Task Force for a couple of years by way of a task force officer through the sheriff's office. And then kind of rounded out the whole thing with about a year and a half as an undercover detective.
So you've been kind of in every walk of that.
Yeah.
And how, through all of those years, did you keep your personal growth going?
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't. That, back then, it was a foreign concept to me, too.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in that profession forever until I started to realize I didn't think I was going to be in that profession forever. I got to a point probably about 6 or 7 years in where I was like, I just don't know if this is going to be the thing that I'll do forever. At that point, you know, it had been just all professional development. That's all you think about. You know, you have your days on, you know, your training days, you know, your working days. And when you're off, you just kind of almost completely check out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, with the sheriff's office, we had an incredible schedule. It was four on, four off, five on, five off, right? So on your days off, like you're just thinking about barbecuing and catching up on sleep and trying your best if you're on graveyard shift to maintain that. But there was no professional or personal development at that time. That didn't start until after I left.
Yeah. So what made you leave?
I kind of fell into entrepreneurism. So we had a family business in San Francisco for many, many years. It was on Market Street, and the Hilton approached the family about wanting to buy the property. And so we worked out a deal, and that led to an opportunity where it was really my mom and her two siblings that were left my grandmother's share of the business, which was 50% of the business. And so my mom came to me and said, hey, I've got this money and I don't know exactly what to do with it, but I know I should be investing it. You seem like a safe bet. Have you ever thought about doing something? And that's where the switch got flipped in my head, where I thought, what would I do? And so I just really just thought about what I knew well. And at that point, after 5 years of SWAT and tons of professional development, I eventually opened up the Forward Movement Training Center in Meridian. And that was a self-defense tactics training facility for civilians, law enforcement, military. And so after starting that, that's when I eventually transitioned full-time into entrepreneurism and did the reserve thing for a few years, but went all in on being an entrepreneur.
And what was that feeling of, like, you are kind of losing your identity, right? It, like we had talked about, and you're also putting all your bet on something that you don't know actually is going to flourish.
Yeah. It was interesting because it, you know, it is a foreign topic too, to voluntarily leave law enforcement, or at least it was then. I don't know based on the current state of things, because, you know, leaving voluntarily in 2014, I think looked very differently than it does today, because we weren't dealing with all the defund the police and all the, you know, craziness there. But, at that time, when I approached our administration about what it was that I was doing, even though it was firmly in the vein of something that was very unique to the area and something that that I was offering to the sheriff's office, and it really fit very firmly into the professional development what I was putting together, they weren't all that. I didn't think they took me that seriously, because you don't see many people leaving the profession to go and start these kinds of businesses. And so I wasn't taken real seriously by the administration at that time. And my Sergeant Steve Robinson, he's now been retired for many years, but, he said, Matt, this was on the narcotics team. He said, Matt, I'm only bringing you into narcs for one reason. And that's because you make people laugh, but you're going to be a shitty detective. I said, thanks, Sarge. He was one of the coolest guys ever, but he had been in narcs for a very long time. And when I told him, and I actually, you know, gave him the resignation letter, he turned to me, said, dude, he's like, this has just got to be one of the dumbest things you can do. And this is coming from a guy who's just about ready to retire, right? So, again, it was a foreign concept to leave the profession to go and do something like that. So, you know, at that time, where my headspace was at was really, I was all in at that point. I had given myself the off ramp to the profession, so the profession wasn't taken away from me by way of an injury or a circumstance that was outside of my control. I was in full control over it. So I was in a really good space that way. And I was just determined to prove all the haters and the naysayers wrong.
Yeah. Were there a lot of them?
No, there wasn't. I wouldn't say even there was any real serious ones. I think it was just, again, like you're going to leave this for what? The stability of, you know, the Percy, the paycheck, you know, the insurance, you're going to give all that up to go into this completely, you know, different space of unknown where most businesses fail their first year. And you sure you want to do that? So I had a lot of people, you know, ask me if I was sure, but I actually don't have any real haters,
right?
At least I know of.
I don't know about that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, at least I got one here.
I'm just kidding. But I think you bring up a really great point of, you know, what a lot of people are doing, I would say, now in life is like they are leaving those what you would call secure jobs, mm-hmm. and they are putting their feet into a really dark place where they don't know all the answers, mm-hmm. you know, even starting this podcast, mm-hmm. and people, it's not that you have haters, but you have doubters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's out of wrong will, but they want to bring you all the questions, right? Well, what are you going to do when this happens? And I'm like, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have all of those answers. Mm-hmm. And you are showing a great example of like, I just got to trust myself. I just got to believe in this, mm-hmm. and make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and what I have found over time, and I've gone through this journey where I was a, you know, really struggling entrepreneur at the beginning, the way I think almost every young entrepreneur is. I found that in many, many cases, the circumstance really isn't the matter of you thinking too big. It's much more of a circumstance of other people thinking too small. Mm-hmm. And so when you come to the table with really big ideas around others who are small thinkers or scarcity minded, or just fixed minded, mm-hmm. they can't quite wrap their head around what it is that you're proposing and why it is that you would want to leave the safe space to go into this other place. And they don't quite really get the potential for just massive opportunity. And so it's much more of a case of surrounding yourself around other people who are much bigger thinkers and even bigger thinkers than you and I are, mm-hmm. that help us continue to elevate. But that's what I've found when it comes to like the doubters. They're just oftentimes small thinkers.
Right. And I think you also explained it very well of like this fixed mind also means like a closed mind, where I think you and I are so open to possibilities, where they're like so closed off to, you know, those possibilities and just go off of safety. Mm-hmm. Through all of this, how did you get to where you are now? Like, you have done a couple different business, you know, endeavors. What is it you're doing now?
Yeah. Well, it's been a journey. It's been a campaign for sure. So, you know, going from a place of real struggle, you know, when I did leave the sheriff's office, I cashed in my Percy. Systematically, we owned two homes at the time. We were in a really pretty good place for the kind of the average family circumstance where no real debt to speak of. We're definitely, you know, going on those vacations once or twice a year and living kind of that nice middle-class life. That systematically deteriorated the first couple of years, because while my mom came to me with this upfront money, that money dried up pretty quickly. And so you can only have so many months where you are losing more money than you're making before you have to start figuring out what is next. Now, quitting is just not in my DNA. Throwing in the towel is just something that I don't do. So what we did, and God bless my wife, Kristen, for hanging tight with me throughout this process and journey. But, you know, we cashed out the Percy. We sold our first home, took all the equity out of it, put that in the business. Eventually had to sell our second home, do the same thing. Ultimately ended up in like a townhouse. And we had watched this life that we'd build and this, you know, these, all of these parts of our lives that we've worked so hard to build, just systematically deteriorate and evaporate, which caused a massive amount of stress on the relationship. So, you know, I was working, our circumstance was not due to a lack of effort. It was just that there's a difference between being productive and being busy. Mm-hmm. And there's also understanding, what are you working on and why? And is that what you should be working on or not? There's the element of leadership. I had a great company with a tremendous amount of potential and a great team with a tremendous, you know, track record and resumes that, that I wasn't leading them well. I was working my ass off. I was missing all kinds of moments with my wife and son. And all the while I had never earned so little money. So my weight had started just to skyrocket. I went from, you know, about 210 at that point to up to like 263, 264, I think was my heaviest weight. You know, relationally, emotionally, financially, I mean, everything was just about on the verge of bankruptcy. And so, you know, at a time when I could no longer take that fake it till you make it approach, because that's what it was. I was taking the fake it till you make it approach. And there was this complete disalignment between who I was presenting myself to be versus who I actually was. And people would say, how are you doing? How's life? How's business? How's the family? And it was always, things are amazing. Things are great. But it was because of ego and pride and self-preservation that what the reality was very different than what I was making other people believe it to be. And that was a huge weight, Mackenzie, to carry. I mean, to be that out of alignment is one of the biggest struggles for people, I think. And it certainly was for me, because when I was pretending I was one way, when the reality was very different, my wife knew the reality. I knew the reality. Even if I was fooling everybody else, the people that were most important to me knew. And so the people that were most important to me, my wife and son, they were getting the worst of me. They were seeing me the least amount. They were getting me in my grumpiest moments. And so that all came to a point to where I had to figure something out, because the cost of continuing down that path was, I mean, you could take the houses, everything. You could take the Percy, but it was the family and my emotional state physical state that it was just trending the wrong direction. So I hired my first coach at a time when I couldn't. And I knew that even though I didn't have the money to do it, I needed to figure it out because the cost of all the other stuff was going to be way, way more, right? And that coach helped me understand many, many different things. But that is really when I truly started going down the path of personal development. And I started to understand that the fact that, you know, I cannot lead other people until I learn how to effectively lead myself first. And all of the different components about what are actual success habits? What are core values? How do you operate off of non-negotiable core values where all of your important decisions get filtered through them? And systematically, I started to little by little stack more wins and losses during the day. And then those days turned into weeks, and those weeks turned into months, and those months have turned into years now. And so I sold that business in 2019 after turning it around, after a couple of years of really working on it. I was able to turn it around, sell it, and then I got into executive leadership following that. And I was relocated, me and the family relocated to Southern California. I was the executive director of operations for a global franchise. That led to some big wins and successes, which then I was given an opportunity about a year and a half ago to become the executive vice president and co-owner of a global software company where we have a target valuation of $100 million. The evolution has been so crazy that when I was having that conversation, it almost in some ways seemed surreal, but in others was a byproduct of the work that I've been putting in. So when they offered me equity in the company, took that, came on board, and then I started my business coaching about 2 years ago. So I work with entrepreneurs who are looking to scale their businesses, leveraging the experience that I have, lessons learned, relationships, and all of my personal professional development there to really help them. So that's been a really incredible thing. I work with dozens of 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs in all kinds of different areas. And then we're, as you know, getting ready to launch Community in July.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah.
And I want to point back or reflect on what you had talked about was this fake it to your make it. Mm-hmm. And I remember so many times as a medic getting told that, like, you have to fake it till you make it. Because if they can see that you are weak, mm-hmm. then you are going to be portrayed as weak. And I think that is such a cultural, like, we have both that commonality of first responders, but I think societal, mm-hmm. like societal norms, that is how it is too, where it's like, no, like, don't ask questions or you're going to seem dumb. And it's like, no, ask those freaking questions, because the time that you ask the question, there's going to be 4 other people that have that question but don't have enough guts to actually ask it.
Sure.
And I think that is, like, just seeing that, it's not surprising, right, that you go down an unhealthy path mm-hmm. of, no, everything's fine, it's all okay, mm-hmm. because you aren't recognizing it within yourself. You're recognizing that, you know, something is wrong, but you're masking it and you're putting something in front of it or putting it underneath the rug or not actually dealing with the circumstance, whatever that circumstance may be. And, you know, it's interesting because looking at my analytics, this podcast actually gets listened to by more men, like, by far, than women. And I think it's people like you that I want to bring on, where it's like, no, you don't have to live like that though. Like, you can be vulnerable and you yeah. can speak up and say, like, hey, I actually do need help. Mm-hmm. And it may not be, you know, the word help is in so many different, like, functions, what that means to people and how you can actually get help or help somebody else. And for you to, like, own up and be like, no, I'm not. I'm actually not all right. I've put this front on for so long. I'm kind of sick of it now. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. like, that is, like, where you saw your breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's two things that I think as a culture in this country, we really lack that leads to what you're saying. Thing number one is authenticity. Mm-hmm. I think that because people are so, they're so caught up in trying to keep up with everyone else and what they see on social media, and just to not appear to be somebody who doesn't have their shit together, they assume this identity that's not real, and they become further and further away from authentic as a result, and that just internally, it's like a cancer. It just eats away at people when they know that the reality is not what they're putting forward. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my core values is integrity in everything. And that is to never make a commitment or a promise to myself or somebody else that I either know I cannot keep or I'm unwilling to keep. You know, there are so many people out there who will just at a whim, just they will commit to something. And they really don't have the intention to keep it, or they know that they really don't even have the ability to keep it. It's one thing to do it to other people. That's a real good way and a real fast way to lose trust with other people, is to make commitments that you don't keep. But an even bigger problem is when you make yourself commitments that you don't keep, right? When you tell yourself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to the gym, you know, X amount of days a week, and I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning to make sure that I do it. And then the 4:30 in the morning rolls around and they hit the snooze button. And then, you know, before they know it, it's too late. They can't go because now they got to get ready for work or get the kids off of school. And so the day goes by and they didn't keep that commitment. And then they know they're a fraud, right? Because they made themselves a promise they didn't keep. And it was because of weakness that they didn't do it. And they chose pleasure over purpose, right? But they'll tell other people that they are on this weight loss health journey. That is a massive disconnect, yeah, from what the reality is. And they know that because they know they made themselves a commitment that they didn't keep. And, you know, the people, they talk skinny, but they eat fat. So that's one thing, is authenticity is, you know, if you want to improve your life, become more authentic, no matter what that means. If you're struggling in your marriage, then there are people to talk to about that. If you're struggling financially, there are people to talk to about that. If you're struggling with, you know, habits or addictions, there are people out there who can help you. Mm-hmm. You just need to own your shit. You just need to own it, and you need to be able to go toe to toe with it and nose to nose with it and have the conversation. The other thing that is missing beyond authenticity is, I just lost my thought.
Must be really important.
I get so riled up about this whole thing. Authenticity. What were you even saying? What was the question before?
Like, I don't know if I asked an actual question, but you were talking about like towing up with your problems and, yeah, owning your shit. Mm-hmm. And
you were, oh, I know about what it was. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Real conversations, yeah, raw thoughts. Yeah. Right. People are not having deep and meaningful, real conversations. You get guys, and you mentioned most of your listeners are guys. For you men out there who are listening to this, you've got to start having real conversations. Talking about sports, talking about the weather, talking about superficial stuff is not getting to the root of what's going on in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, Bedros Koulian, myself, Ray Cashcare, former Navy SEAL, Steve Eckert, former Marine, and then Aaron Alejandrino, years ago, about three, almost 4 years ago, we came together talking about this and the need for guys to deal with the shit that they've got buried deep into the dark areas of their heads and minds, that have been tucked away because it's being seen or interpreted to be weak to bring those forward and to deal with it. So rather than deal with trauma and deal with the things that oftentimes happen in childhood, molestation, abuse of parents, divorce, rather than deal with it, it gets tucked away. And I don't think a lot of people realize how that shows up as an adult, right? When it comes to being a parent or being a husband, you know, keeping the marriage intact, having the fire and the energy and connection there with your spouse. When you're carrying around that kind of dark baggage, even though it's tucked deep away, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And it has a way of showing up and rearing its ugly head at the times when you really should be the happiest. But rather than talking about it and having authentic conversations about it, people have superficial conversations and they talk about shit that just does not matter. And those two things, Mackenzie, I think if people get to a place where they're willing to talk about the real issues and they're willing to be authentic about them and just ditch the ego, ditch the pride, and just get real, I think people can have breakthroughs that would literally blow your doors out. I mean, I'm living proof of it.
Yeah. I love what you have just spoken on, because through this, I mean, like you said, raw thoughts, right? Like that, they are raw. And just recently, like you said, you consume yourself or put yourself in those situations to learn from people that are smarter and greater and like more experienced than you. Mm-hmm. And even before we were talking on this podcast and we were talking about, you know, a couple of the speeches that I have, like exactly what you have said is being real and being authentic and being willing to share your story. That's what raw is. Mm-hmm. Real, authentic, and willing to share your story.
Boom.
Like, I love that you spoke on that and you didn't even realize it. You know what I mean? And like, that's where I am like, yes, like this is what we're talking about. Like these are the breakthroughs for people to not just have the, like, I can't stand superficial conversations. Mm-hmm. And I can pick up on somebody's energy and be like, you are so fake. I don't even want to be around you. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry to all the girls with Botox and getting their lips and like all, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're just fake, you know, like you're covering something up. Like, and I get there's like an aesthetic please of those things, but that's like a red flag in my own core values. Mm-hmm. Is like, but if you're wanting to look like everybody else, mm-hmm. like who are you then?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the motivation, right?
Yeah. For
people are kind of suffering from that because there is that dysmorphia kind of thing where people they suffer from that, and it's a sad thing when people almost are handcuffed to this image that they're trying to chase to appease other people. A great book on that is a book called Psycho Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, and you know, so if anybody out there is kind of dealing with your image, I highly recommend you read that book. It's a great book. But it's a surefire way to get to a much better place in life is to be raw, is to be vulnerable, is to understand that your ego is not your amigo, right? Your ego will never get you to a place to self-actualization. It will stand in your way. Your ego is a critic. And it will ensure that whatever your full potential is, it's never tapped into. But the other thing I'll say to this too is it's one thing to have the conversation. It's one thing to be willing to talk about it. It's something completely different to be about it, right? Mm-hmm. So talk with the mouth is cheap. You got to talk with your feet, right? So if there's issues and there are things that need to be resolved, you know, in your health, in your wealth, in your relationships, You can't just talk about it. You've mm-hmm. got to do the work, and you've got to understand that nobody can do the work for you.
Right. And nobody can show you, you know what I mean? Like you said, like your family, you were hurting those people around you, mm-hmm. but it had to be you to self-recognize what was happening and also make the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mentorship is huge. You know, that's something else, you know, in the first responder world and law enforcement, you know, we have certain mentors by way of, I want to go to major crimes, or I want to go to SWAT. I want to go to here. So, you know, you look to people to try to help develop you to that place. But it wasn't until really I moved to California and I really got surrounded by other people that were. And just by the way, I'm an Idahoan.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was a short stint, 2019 to 2023 or 2022, June okay. of this last year. wherever that would put us at. But you know, it was being surrounded by other people and getting into the same room of other people who were much, much bigger thinkers and people who had a reality that I didn't even, of course, knew was real, but I didn't know many people who were living that as their reality, in their health, their wealth, and relationships, which are just like the three main pillars of my life. My level of understanding of what success looked like in those areas dramatically elevated. So, you know, who we allow to have a seat at our table, what rooms we put ourselves in, and what people are in those rooms, that really matters. If you want to get to a massively better place in life, audit your relationships and take a look at who you're spending time around, what you're consuming, what you're allowing to creep into your mind. And, you know, for the people that create doubt, the people who are the critics, the people who are small thinkers or fixed-minded, those relationships need to get edited. One thing I am absolutely certain about, and I'm absolutely proof about, Mackenzie, is the potential is in all of us. Every single one of your listeners right now has the potential to dramatically improve in any circumstance they want to. One of the things that was instilled in me, and I instill in others, is that we always have the power and the control to change our circumstances. Always.
100%.
We just have to get in the driver's seat of our own life and make it happen.
Yep. And you, like you said, you're a proof of just not talking the talk. Mm-hmm. And you actually said that comment to me. You're like, talk's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, it's cool to be sharing these success stories within people of, you know, it doesn't mean, and if you're listening, like if you're in the reckoning, that doesn't mean you have to stay there. Mm-hmm. And just those tiny, like you said, your habits, right? It was hour by hour, then it was day by day, then it was weeks, now it's years. And the things that you are now doing are things that you also used to be doing. Mm-hmm. And that is why you are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
Your success did not happen without, you know, the pitfall too.
Sure. Yeah.
And that all is encompassed to who you are. And I think that's why I had such a drawn to like sharing your story, because you are just that. Mm-hmm. You are the same person online that I see right here in the seat. Mm-hmm. And that is rare.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, but that's a rat race too many other people are on. But that's where I've evolved to. You know, I was not that person, you know, several years ago. And I would not today tolerate being in the same room with the person that I was at that time. Those people, that kind of personality, and like you said, you know, when you sniff out somebody who's not authentic, those are people who just, they do not meet the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I welcome anybody to elevate their level of standards and expectations and meet me where I'm at while I continue to work on myself and continue to raise my own standards and expectations to elevate to even higher levels. You know, we say the best is yet to come. And as long as you're always willing to continue to do the work and you realize that there's no peak, like there's never a point where you and I or anybody else makes it, mm-hmm. right? As long as we're continually doing the work and doing what it takes to elevate, we will continue to be in a better and better place as time goes on. But again, it's not lowering our standards. We can't, you know, as Ed Milet says, you know, it's like a thermostat. You know, it can go up or down.
Mm-hmm.
I won't allow mine to go down. It will never go back to where it was. It'll only continue to elevate. And the people that are on that same kind of journey, and I want to know you, and I want to be in your circle, and I want to do what it takes to earn my seat at your table. And I want anybody else that is also willing to do the work to come saddle up and let's do this thing called life together in this constant pursuit of growth,
right,
and achievement to become that very best version of ourselves for ourselves, but also for the ones that we love as well.
Yeah. I want you to go into a little bit because it is something, right, the listeners that are here in the Treasure Valley, it's something that they can tap into you for the summertime. Like, tell us a little bit about what that community is going to look like.
Yeah. So this is kind of a spinoff from the coaching thing. And I have, because of the massive impact that my community has made on me, and understanding just how rare it is to actually be able to be in the same space, in the same room as other people who reject mediocrity, think really, really big, have big audacious dreams that they're willing to pursue with everything that they have. That's pretty rare, right? I mean, in most people's communities and most people's circles, if they're that person that's a real big thinker and really is wanting to dramatically improve in the areas of their life, they don't have immediate access to a lot of people. You gotta really expand out. And so that's what I'm putting together is a community that is just that. It's really focused primarily on entrepreneurs and married couples. And if you're a married couple that's also entrepreneurs, it's even that much better. But there's a tremendous amount of intentionality in this community to really help people get in much closer proximity to others who are cut from the same cloth. And so that way there are no small thinkers. You're only surrounded by big thinkers who are abundant mindedness and only talk with their feet. It's launching with an event that we're doing in July 13th and 14th of this year. It's being held down at the Zions Bank on the 17th floor. And you know, what's cool about that too, speaking of the law enforcement thing is I won this at a auction at the Policeman's Ball.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I this and another one, but just with the intention of wanting to get people into the same room, but not really knowing what that would look like. You know, when this came up at the auction, I bid on it and won it. So shout out to Zions Bank for donating it and for the crew over there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, around the Policeman's Ball for giving me the opportunity. But 13th, 14th, July 13th is a VIP day. We're going whitewater rafting down the Payette. We're going to, we only have room for 100 people. So depending on when this episode even airs, I truly don't know if there will be any tickets left. We did kind of a soft rollout this week, and the response has been very impressive.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but we only have room for 100 people on the 13th of July. We're going whitewater rafting. We come back, and then huge shout out to the Diamond Girls, Natalie and Lisa over there, because they are building out a custom, one of a kind, some giveaways, and I won't get into details, but the Diamond Girls.
I just got chills because I know their
qualities.
Their caliber is like amazing. Ooh.
Yeah. So we have two pieces that are being custom designed right now by them that we'll be doing a giveaway for. But we're doing a mixer, a VIP. We're calling it the Little Black Dress VIP mixer, and it'll be down there. That's invite only. So don't show up if you didn't buy a ticket, because we will have security. But that's going to all be on the 13th, and then Friday the 14th. It starts off by a group PT with Ray Cashcare, the Navy SEAL, is going to be putting everybody through a PT. And let me tell you, he is an artist.
Wow.
At making people suffer. But our kind of people that are cut from our cloth, they like that stuff. So they will be out there first thing in the morning. We'll be getting our butts kicked by a Navy SEAL, be given a couple hours to decompress, and then the mastermind begins. And I have some incredible people coming in for that. We have, at this point, Lindsay Schwartz, who is the founder of Powerhouse Women. She's got an incredible community, incredible story. She is out there and as a shaker and a mover. We have Cynthia Thurlow. She just recently did her second TED Talk, over 14 million views on it. She's an author. All these people can be found on the actual click funnel that we have on this deal. But we have them. We have Ray will be doing a talk. One other badass that for some reason I'm blanking, but he, trust me, he's awesome. And then we have a couple others that are under contract right now that people absolutely know. And it's going to be really cool to be able to announce that very soon, but we're not quite ready yet because we haven't inked the deal. So that's the mastermind, really focused on the health, wealth, and relationships component of things. And then we're going to top it all off with a private event at Topgolf. We've got the entire section.
Wow.
The floor, like the third floor of it, is ours. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, we've got a really cool thing. But we only have 200 spots total. That's wow. All the capacity that we have. And we will get there much sooner than later. So if this is something that you guys want to do, if personal development is something that you're interested in, if it is something that you want to get interested in, which you should, if you want a better, more successful, more fulfilling life, then the link for this, I'm sure, will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
But that's that event we got coming up.
I'm so excited. And just when you had sent me it, you know, I was like, I will make it happen. Like, and then you just talking about it and you have to put yourself in those situations, right? Like, yes, it's a lot of money and I understand the people that are going to see the price tag and maybe it's more, you know, than what you're wanting to spend, but that's also the price to make your life better.
Yeah. It is a drop in the bucket. I mean, to get in the room with some of these people, when it comes to the ROI, that return on the investment, it's
going
to
be exponential.
Oh geez. I mean, yeah. People spend way more money on way more ridiculous stuff.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I think that's the part of it too, right? We do invest a lot into all of these materialistic things, mm-hmm. but it's like, how about we start investing, you know, or add an investment like this once a year, mm-hmm. you know, and try to elevate what your life and that fulfillment and that enjoyment is, because you and I both know, and my listeners that have heard this is like, you don't know when your life is coming to an end.
True.
There is so many times where people think that they have all of this time. It's like, who's not to say that there isn't somebody else that is, you know, drunk and hits you on the way home from today.
Yeah, it happens every day.
And I don't ever wish that on anybody, but like, that is the reality that like, no, that is reality. That happens. It happens every single day. Mm-hmm. Happens that you're driving on the interstate and something happens and your wheel goes and your car goes tumbling and now you're not here with us. Mm-hmm. And that also proves to you, like, start making a fulfillment, you know, fulfilling your life.
Yeah.
Fulfill it in the way that you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, step into your full potential and don't just do it for you. You know, the people that are coming to this event are doing it for them, but they're also doing it for the ones that they love as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you start stepping into the rooms and the environments and you start developing relationships with the kinds of people who help you start stepping into your fullest potential, that is generational impact.
Yeah.
That is truly putting yourself on a different trajectory to where your ability to achieve and what you're able to produce and the kind of cycles you will break,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of influence you can have and the way in which you will do life with your spouse and raise your kids. It is generational impact. And so, you know, the time is never something that's guaranteed to all of us, but we have the here and now, and the here and now offers the opportunity for us to live our best life. And it also offers us the ability to set the stage for those that we love to live their best lives.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. That's what the outcome of that event will be.
That's awesome. Well, as we wrap up, I will have all of his information into the show notes. And I will be making the footsteps to have be at that event. How else can people reach out to you, connect with you?
Yeah. If you're on LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn. If you are on Instagram, I'm on that as well. And then, if you happen to be an entrepreneur who is already profitable, you know, you're in a space to where you're looking to scale and take things to the next level, you can go to the website, ignitionyear.com, and we can, talk about whether or not we'd be a good fit for each other for coaching. But all that stuff will be in the show notes. So whatever fits.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, coming on to, you know, my podcast and sharing the knowledge that you have in your life experiences and vulnerability with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Listeners, thank you again for another episode with me. You can find all of Matt's information into the show notes. You can also go onto the website. All of the links will be on there. You know how to get it. If you ever have any questions, DM me on Instagram, and I'll see you guys next week for another episode. Bye, guys. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You can also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.